We are in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 9, verse 22, where we have come to the climactic moment on the eighth day of the first month of the second year of the Exodus, which is the climactic day of the dedication of the altar and of the priests as God described the ceremony. Aaron has finished offering all the required sacrifices, doing all the required procedures, and he now comes down from the probably the ramped, raised area around the bronze altar where he's laid all of these sacrificial pieces. And we are told in verse 22, that Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and he blessed them. So he's up on the top of this raised area around the altar when he blesses them. And we know what he says because it is prescribed in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 6, starting at verse 22. He who is spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them. And so this becomes the Aaronic blessing that is given from time to time, and it is obviously given on the eighth day right before the glory of God appears to dedicate the altar and the tabernacle to his holy service. Here are the words. He who is bless you and keep you. He who is make his face to shine upon you. And the word face here is the word that is often translated into English as presence. And that is about what's to happen. God's presence is going to shine all over these people. The Lord, or he who is, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. What's graciousness all about? It is forgiveness. It is mercy. It is compassion. It is forgiveness. And so these are exactly what the ceremonies have been about on this particular climactic day. And then verse 26, and he who is lift up his countenance upon you. Now, what's this all about? The countenance is again the word for face. And so it is another request that God show himself in this very important symbolic form for the assembled people on this special day. And at the end, give you peace. Now, peace is not simply the absence of war, especially not in the context that we're talking about here. It is the restoration of relationship. It's taking away whatever it is that has broken off relationship. And so this is a prayer for fellowship and relationship for the Israeli people from this moment forward through the mechanism of the tabernacle and its services, and the priests and their services. Verse 27, so shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. So the whole idea is that they are to wear the name of God from this point forward. They are to be covered by his presence coming in this way. Now, before we continue there in the Numbers passage, which we will, I want to read again from the Leviticus passage. Leviticus chapter number 9, starting at verse number 23. And again, you have to picture here that all of the sacrifices for today, for this dedication ceremony carried out by Aaron, have been laid out on the wood that is there on the altar of sacrifice. They have not ignited it with fire. And this is what happens. Verse 23, Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. Why they went in there is not explained to us. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of He who is appeared to all the people. So that glory cloud that had been up on Mount Sinai, and it had been over the other tent of meeting, Moses' office outside the confines of the encampment, that glory cloud now appears over the tabernacle building. And I think it flares up. And something big happens in verse 24. And fire came out from before He who is and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. So God Himself ignites the fire of sacrifice on this particular day. And when all the people saw it, and there's tons of them, there's well over a million adults in this group, when they saw it, they shouted and they fell on their faces. And that's exactly how Moses said it was going to happen today, that God is going to appear to you. God is going to show Himself to you. Now let's go to the Numbers 6 passage. And let's see. I think that's where I wanted to be. Let me double check myself. No, it's actually the Exodus chapter 40 passage is the parallel first. Exodus chapter 40, and with these words we finish up the book of Exodus, by the way. And even though it doesn't have the date cited in the book of Exodus, we know it's the eighth day of the first month of the second Jewish year, because of the second year of the Exodus, because what we just read from Leviticus 9. Then the glory cloud, this is verse 34, if I didn't say that, of chapter 40. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of He who is filled the tabernacle. So that's the flaring up, I think, that's happening here. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of He who is filled the tabernacle. So one of the reasons that Moses and Aaron may have come out is because God's glory flared up right there between the Kerubim on the Ark of the Covenant, just above the mercy seat, and then just expanded from there in all directions in the tabernacle. And Moses and Aaron had to get out of that special building. Now, this is only temporary, no one's able to go into the tabernacle during this flaring up, as I describe it, of God's glory presence. A very similar thing happens when the temple is built and the priests have to get out of the way of God's glory temporarily. And then the glory of God kind of settles back in. And I think in the case of the tabernacle, it's pretty clear that it's basically the tower of God's visible presence starts right between the Kerubim of the Ark of the Covenant, goes up through the tapestry and the other coverings that make the ceiling of the Holy of Holies, and then goes up above the Holy of Holies as a tower, And then, based on some other passages later in the scripture, it seems as if it tops out and spreads out like a canopy, like an umbrella over the entire encampment of Israel there in the desert, there in the wilderness, so that they do not have to suffer from the heat of the sun during the day. And the glory cloud of God is probably emitting some heat during the hours of darkness to keep the chill of the desert away. Now, some of that is speculation on my part, but it's based on some information that comes up later in, I think it's the book of Isaiah, that describes how the canopy of God's presence will be there in the new heaven and the new earth, in the millennial period, if you will. And so I think that's actually the way it was here. Now, the last part of Exodus, just as historical information, throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, that is, when God's glory lifted up off the Ark of the Covenant, comes up out of the Holy of Holies, and then lifts up off the tabernacle itself and moves forward in the direction of travel. That's how they will know it's time to move. So whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of He who is was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. And thus we finish the book of Exodus. The other passage is Numbers chapter number nine, starting at verse number 15. And some of it's repeat material of what we just had. On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of testimony, and at evening it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning. And so it was always, the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, after that the people of Israel set out, and in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. Now that's a little bit of new detail for us. My suspicion, and that's all it is that wherever the cloud settled down close to the earth, the Levites carrying the Ark of the Covenant set the Ark of the Covenant right there and took the protective covering off of the Ark of the Covenant, and then God's presence settled there between the Kerubim on top of the mercy seat, and the tabernacle was then assembled around God's settled presence. And then the camp of Israel was set up around that central camp of the king in a predetermined manner. Verse 18, at the command of He who is, the people of Israel set out, and at the command of He who is, they camped. Well, that makes sense because He's the commander in chief. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the people of Israel kept the charge of He who is and did not set out. Now, that will become much more important when we take in consideration the years of wandering in the wilderness, as we call it. Because originally, the Israelis were supposed to leave Mount Sinai, and by a few stages of encampments, they were going to enter the promised land from the south. But because of their sinful resistance, because of their disobedience after that sinful resistance was rebuked, God penalized them with a total of 40 years in the wilderness. And we have lists of the encampments during that period of time out. And based on the number of years and number of encampments, it would appear that Israel remained at each of those timeout encampments about 2 years. And so that's probably much more to the point of what's being said here, is that Israel, during its timeout phase, just stayed in place for up to about 2 years until God himself signaled it was time to go to a new encampment site. Now, why was it important to go to a new encampment site? Some of it might have to do with resources. You know, they have been digging latrine pits around their encampment for a couple of years. They've been using up wood from around the encampment for a couple of years. Their animals have been grazing the grass around the encampment for a couple of years. And even though God might slow down the use of those resources miraculously, it would appear that they simply needed to move from time to time. But this is how he signaled it. Verse 21. Sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning, meaning just overnight. And when the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. Or if it continued for a day and a night, when the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there, the people of Israel remained in camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out. At the command of He Who Is, they camped, and at the command of He Who Is, they set out. They kept the charge of He Who Is at the command of He Who Is. So, let us turn our attention back now to Leviticus chapter 10, because we're not done with all the things that happened on day 8 of the dedication ceremony. There is one other huge thing that happened, and it's not good. Now, up to this point, everything's been happy, happy. Everything's been celebratory. Everything's been all about God is good. God is great. And it is an amazing thing to see His presence there on the tabernacle, burning up the sacrifices and coming up and over the encampment. But this is what happened next. Leviticus 10, verse 1. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. Now these are the oldest sons. Aaron is 84 now. So these guys must be in their 50s, probably. Maybe late 40, one of them. But they're well, they are well in age. They're adults. They should be mature enough to know what's what. But they each took his censer, which is a container that you put incense in to carry it from place to place. And then they offered unauthorized fire before He Who Is, which He had not commanded them. Now there is dispute about exactly how this happened. And so I'm going to give you my best guess. And some of this will come up later. I think these two men drank enough alcohol on this particular day that they got drunk and they got full of themselves, and they decided to do something that was not on the schedule of events. I think that they took some incense and they went into the tabernacle, into the holy place where priests are supposed to go a couple of times a day. And I think they dumped some coals of fire from a fire that was not ignited by God. And then they dumped this incense on that fire right there in front of God's holy presence over the Ark of the Covenant. And you remember my description, I think, of what it would have looked like is that the altar of incense sat between the two projecting carrying poles of the Ark of the Covenant, and that the drape, the veil between the holy place and the most holy place, was probably draped on a couple of hooks on the poles on either, or excuse me, on the pillars on either side of those poles, which allowed the priests to be able to look right at the Ark of the Covenant whenever they are offering incense. And so I think these two, in my opinion, drunk priests offered incense that was not asked for right there in the face of God. And it says in verse 2, fire came out from before he who is, so I think right straight off of the ark, and it consumed them. And they died before he who is. Now, they were not like completely burnt to, you know, nothingness. They weren't just to a crisp where there was only ashes. But they were killed by a flash of God's glory. And you might remember that Moses had been warned by God, no human can enter into my real presence and live. No sinful human can do that. And so these two sinful guys brought the judgment of God upon themselves. Now, you know that that had to have really upset Aaron to have his two adult boys killed by God himself. So verse 3 reports that Moses said to Aaron, "This is what he who is has said." So he's already talked to God, or God's already talked to him, so Moses passes it on, like they've been doing since the beginning of their relationship as partners. God talks to Moses, Moses talks to Aaron. "This is what he who is has said, among those who are near me, I will be sanctified. I will be treated with holy respect. And before all the people, I will be glorified," meaning I will be respected, which means you don't come into God's presence drunk, and you don't offer things that he has not asked for, and you most certainly don't offer fire that God himself has not kindled from this point forward, because he already kindled the fire that they're going to use for sacrifices from here on out. And so Aaron, being chided by Moses, held his peace. And then Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron. So this would basically be Moses and Aaron's cousins. They're senior members of the Levitical tribe. He said to them, "Come near, carry your brothers away from the front of the sanctuary and out of the camp." And so they came near and they carried them in their coats out of the camp as Moses had said. So they are going to be buried, probably. Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons. So they're the two other sons of Aaron, the remaining ones, who are now going to step up and assist in what remains of the tabernacle procedures for the day. But this is what they're told. Do not let the hair of your heads hang loose. So don't be taking your hats off. Because remember, the hat that Aaron is wearing is his high priestly hat that has the holy to he who is on the front of it. So don't take your hat off. Don't let your hair hang loose. Don't tear your clothes, because that's a general way of showing your remorse, or your sadness at the death of a loved one. But he and they are wearing the priestly clothing, so they're not going to be tearing that up. Lest you die and wrath come upon all the congregation. Let your brothers, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning that he who his has kindled. And don't go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting, lest you die. And that's the front gate. So don't be going out to try to attend their funeral. You let everybody else weep and wail and cry over the death of your boys. You stay on point, which is dedication of the temple, dedication of the tabernacle. For the holy anointing oil of he who is upon you. And so they did according to the word of he who is. And then we finish, and we'll come back to this first thing next time, with the reason why I think they were drunk. Because the next thing that God says to Aaron is this: drink no wine or a strong drink, you and your sons with you, when you come or go into the tent of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. So this, I think, is a good enough reason to surmise that the problem was that these two guys tried to serve God drunk.